You're listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. For our last edition of 2019, we're bringing you a story called The Out-of-Towners Club.
So you pitch up in New York City, and the chances are the first thing you're going to feel, apart from being really, really excited, is being really, really lonely. I'm Dan, and I spent a year feeling like a minor character in someone else's novel. It was like being an extra in a really cool movie in which everyone was having the best time ever, but instead I was just the sad guy in the corner bringing a little real-life balance and perspective, I guess. Christmas is the best of times and the worst of times. See, I was the new kid in the office, and because of that, I couldn't get vacation over the holidays, and well, so I didn't get to travel home to see family in Wyoming. I spent Christmas morning walking the streets of Midtown with frostbitten fingers, watching literally everyone else dressed up for parties, rushing around with bundles of presents and bottles of wine to drink over dinner. That's when I decided to form the Out-of-Towners Club. I wanted it to be a place where people like myself can meet up with other people like myself and just get together and do things. Stave off that new town loneliness we all feel sometimes. I put cards in office buildings, leafleted coffee shops, and subway stations, and pretty soon, I knew I was onto something. We met in a bar called Chester's on the edges of Soho, and pretty soon we opened a new section over in Brooklyn, then another one in Uptown. I met some of the best friends I'll ever have through Out-of-Towners, and you're about to meet some of them. Here's Jack and Jessica, two lovely Brits that met here in New York on that very first evening. Jack's back in London now and having a hard time because, well, you'll work this out.
I'd rest you merry, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we've gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Hey, Daisy. Daddy's here. You can stop crying now. Anytime you want to stop crying would be just... Daisy, could you just... Oh, crap. I mean, literally. You've actually filled your nappy again, haven't you? Are you doing this for a bet or something? That's what, 6, 7 nappies today and it's not even tea time yet. You're 14 months old now. You're not supposed to be... You know, pooing this much. Oh. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
Don't sing that to her.
God, you frightened me. Where did you come from?
Your imagination? Out of the ether? From the realm of the undead? No, that's wrong. Partially dead. Well, very dead, but not quite, settled, at rest.
Hmm, right. And why can't I sing that song to her?
It just seems a bit, you know, wrong after what actually happened last Christmas. I mean, it's lovely that you're singing at all after...
Yeah, I know.
After everything, the fact that you can sing is pretty amazing, really.
Been a tough year since you've...
Since the accident? No. Start again.
Since you drove off the Hammersmith flyover.
Wow. You make it sound like it was deliberate. Some movie stunt gone wrong.
No. I didn't mean to imply that...
Because, let me tell you, finding that one weak point in the barrier on that one day you could even get out of second gear on there had to be an accident. I wasn't a good enough driver to have managed that on purpose. It was...
Jess? Jessica? Oh, you've gone. I hate it when you do that. Just sort of... melt away mid-sentence.
Yeah, melting into the floor and dissolving into thin air weren't exactly on my bucket list of things to be able to achieve before I was 30 either. I'll catch you later, Jack. You've got a nappy to change.
God, our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Not a day dawns when I don't think of Jess. I mean, talk about the life and soul of the party, and now she's... well, neither. I got over to England for the funeral earlier this year, but I feel so useless in supporting Jack through his grief and isolation. I mean, I'm not sure I'm even over my own sense of loss for Jess not being around us. My poor buddy Jack, alone there with little Daisy. I know he's a Londoner, but his friends are all here and, well, I worry for him. Okay, so now there's Jenny. Jenny manages to be both the coolest person I know and the most awkward person I've ever known, all rolled up into one. She has had the most unsuccessful dating career in the history of mankind, and I'm including myself in that calculation, yet somehow she just never gives up. I kind of knew straight away when we dated for a couple of weeks, maybe 5 years back, that she was probably less interested in men than she realized. We called off the most awkward romance in the history of awkward romances and began the most glorious, lovely, steadfast, and funny friendship you could possibly imagine. My wish for Jenny this Christmas, and I can't tell you quite how hard I wish for this every single day, is that she finds Miss Wright underneath the mistletoe. But you know, with that amount of goofiness going on all the time, I'm not going to bet too heavily on that outcome. Well, anyway, last time I saw her, she was going on about this barista she'd taken a shine to, but, you know, as you guessed it, she couldn't remotely pluck up the courage or the words to even say good morning to her. Weirdly, I also have a friend, Allison, who is a barista, and I'd love to introduce them to each other because there are... in the nicest way possible, similar levels of goofiness involved. I'll see how Jen gets on with this girl first and maybe, you know, invite Allison to the Christmas party if nothing comes of it.
God rest you merry, gentlemen.
There's no one else even in here. Why did I ask for her name? As if it might be unclear who this cappuccino is for? She probably thinks I'm, like, stalking her now.
Oat milk cappuccino for Jenny?
Ugh. Why didn't I take it over to her? I could have casually leaned on the table and asked how her day was going. I can be really carefree when I want to be. Oh, wait. Her panini. Okay. I'll just walk this over. Super chill. Really chill. The chillest. Bon appetit! Okay, wow, you're French now? That was freakish. Just gonna go over here, eat scraps off the floor, and wish I was never born. Ugh, she thinks I'm such a creep. She keeps looking over here at me. Of course, when the charming barista asks for your name, it's just for the order, Jenny. We all know this. Why did I ask her, what's your name? Allison. But she said it with that strained chuckle, so RIP me. I guess it doesn't matter. I just wanted to finally check out the cute bakery down the street before I moved out of the neighborhood. As of tomorrow, this will be just another painfully embarrassing memory that keeps me awake at night. Cool. Well, I guess I officially scared her away. One and done. That's a new record for me. May as well just open up the shop on Christmas Day, since I'll be alone forever anyway.
Sesame bagel with cream cheese for Mark?
I wonder what she's doing right now. Probably at some other coffee shop. I bet they have better sandwiches there. Something about the way she ate that panini was so endearing. That's a weird thing to notice, but some people really don't know how to eat a sandwich. Maybe I should resolve to be more positive in the new year. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna pledge that if I ever see Jenny again, I'll ask her out. Even if and when she shuts me down, that's okay. I'm fine. I'm carefree.
Yep. Lying here awake, thinking about that time I asked Allison her name. I'm also thinking about her incredible eyelashes. But I'm mostly thinking about how, after noticing them, I humiliated myself. I could go back. Leave her feeling charmed. I'd say, "Oh, Allison, was it? Well, Allison, what do you say we get out of here?" Then we'd go skating, and snowflakes would fall onto her cheek. But I'd wipe them off, and she'd say, "Sensationnel." Because I think she might be a bit French. I'm not doing that. What, travel to the other side of town when I don't even know if she'd be working, buy a coffee, and then actually put myself out there and ask her out? Forget it.
Also from the core group of way back when out-of-towners version 1.0 is Adam. Adam is the bachelor's bachelor. His apartment resembles something between a vintage video game arcade, a fast food outlet, and a small suburban movie theater. I didn't even know you could buy TV screens that size, but of course, Adam has one. But how the hell does this guy hold down a job? And a good one at that. It's a mystery to me. Adam is also Jack's best friend. And, you know, he had this thing for Jess for years, but finally accepted that she was Jack's girl. I think it was actually after the wedding, at which he was the best man, incidentally, that the reality kicked in. But, you know, hey, we got there. They Skype at least a couple times each week, and Adam reports back to us on Jack's progress. We know it's tough when everyone starts conversations with, "So how are you?" You know, in that tone of voice that really means, we know you're not okay. So we just do it all through Adam.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Adam. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Missing you, though. Any chance of you sneaking over to New York for Christmas? You could bring Daisy. Stay in my apartment.
Adam, with every respect, with literally every courtesy and platitude I can conjure, and please, don't take this the wrong way. If Daisy were a feral dog, I wouldn't want her in your apartment. I think I contracted amoebic dysentery from your kitchen table once, and as for your bathroom...
Don't get too personal, Jack. I know you're 3,000 miles away, but there's no need to be rude. I've turned over a new leaf. My apartment is tidy and clean. I've employed someone to help me, so you can arrive here with confidence that Daisy will survive. Besides, I'm worried about you, man.
Don't be. Please. I'm fine.
Really? You don't sound...
Conversation over. I'm fine. And as much as I'd love to come to the out-of-towners party, there's just... no way. No way, but... listen, thanks for the thought. I'm not ready to be in those places and with those people. It'll just bring back all the memories of meeting Jess, and I can't. I just can't. Not yet.
So Adam calls me, and he's more worried about Jack than ever before. Something about his tone and his abruptness. Adam's in pieces in a way I've never known him to be before. This guy doesn't do emotions and empathy, and yet I almost think he's holding back tears as we talk. Well, I guess people cope with Christmas in different ways. You know, let me introduce you to Kylie. She's another original out-of-towner and also going through some hard times.
Oh, I really don't want to go to this party. Dan invited me. He's the nicest guy ever, and I'm so lucky to be part of the group, but when it comes to the holidays, I just can't. It's not the same for me. Christmas was always awful when I was a kid. Right up until the age of maybe 15, I would make up stories to try and make my Christmas sound like my friend's Christmas. I was way beyond feeling bad about it by that time. Lying, that is. Cassie and Molly just told me their amazing stories of their holiday break. Cassie talking about the new cashmere sweater she got and how they went as a family on a ski trip and then played board games in the cabin when they were warming back up. Molly told us about how they went to her grandma's for Christmas and she hung out with her cousins and how they all did a white elephant gift exchange and just laughed and laughed at all the crazy gifts people got and how it was so much fun. So I made mine up. I told the girls that I went on a trip too, because my parents just really wanted to spend some us time, just the four of us. My mom, stepdad, me, and my sister. I told them that we took a road trip to the big theme park for Christmas and even came up with details about standing in lines for specific rides for a long time and what souvenirs I got and brought back. I told them we all sang songs together in the car on the way there, and once in a while I busted out some solos because I was the best singer in the family. And I told them this new watch is just one of the things I got for Christmas. But I actually stole the watch from another girl's locker that morning. She wasn't wearing it, and she put it on the bottom of her locker, so it was probably a gift from a relative, and she didn't even want it, so I was doing her a favor, right? Because how could I tell Cassie and Molly the truth? How could I begin to explain that we actually did jack shit for Christmas, and that my mom got high and forgot it was Christmas? My stepdad drank himself stupid and ended up just going out with his drinking buddies while us kids sat at home. No presents, no festive spirit, no fun, no love. So I made up my own Christmas story. The one I wanted to be real. The one I deserved, because for heaven's sake, I was still just a kid. I felt so lonely living in my lies. I had a deep ache each time I did this because I knew that maybe if I did find someone to help me, then I could get out of this hell. But instead of opening up to someone I trusted, instead of telling someone and risking being hurt, I decided to live inside my imagination. My dream, my wish of a family someday that I could have a normal holiday with. And I've done that every year for the last 10 Christmas holidays. Cassie and Molly believed every word I said of my made-up Christmas break that year, so I just kept going. Every Christmas, more and more elaborate lies. 10 years later, and I still haven't told anyone about my family or how holidays go for me. So what I'd usually do would be to order Asian takeout and watch Love Actually on repeat. Take comfort from the Christmases being enjoyed by Hugh Grant and Colin Firth and Martin Freeman and all those cool Brits. But now I have friends that are more like family. This out-of-towners club means everything to me. Dan and Adam are amazing, but I can't do the party. I'm just gonna have to tell Dan that I can't go. He'll be so disappointed, but I can't. I'm gonna text him now. Dan, I can't go to the party, okay? Remember when I told you there's more to my story? Well, it might be time to tell you.
Sure, Kylie. Are you okay?
Yeah, I just need to finally tell the truth.
Okay, well, let's meet up tomorrow.
And when they came to Bethlehem, where our dear Savior lay, they found him in a manger where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary kneeling down unto the Lord did pray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
This wasn't in the script. Me being alone like this, well, alone with Daisy. So not technically, you know, alone as such. Anyway. When you sit down with the woman you've loved most in the whole world and your newborn baby in the little flat you've worked really hard to afford the rent for, and you've let your mind wander a bit in the future, you don't imagine what I've got now. Let me see now. Wife's dead. I'm a lone parent, pretty much no friends. Parents who don't seem to be interested in offering any help whatsoever because, to quote my dad, it keeps shitting itself. Life couldn't really be less peachy. What I haven't told you is that we only came to London 6 months before Daisy was born because we'd both been working in the States for the previous 5 years. That's how I know Dan and all the others from the Out of Towners Club. I was working there for nearly 5 years and...
Well, I was working. You were there. Just about getting by, sleeping on Dan's couch most of the time, I seem to recall.
Oh, hi, Jess. Yes, I was sleeping on Dan's couch sometimes.
Well, if you count most of 2015 and 16 as sometimes, then yes, you are technically correct.
Well, anyway, I was living in New York.
We were living in New York.
Can I just, you know, tell the story, please?
Sure. Tell away.
And I met Dan through this thing called the Out of Towners Club. And then I met Adam, my best friend in the entire world, who is now 3,000 miles away. And, of course, Jess, who is tragically now...
Oh, it's happening again.
What?
I'm fading again. It feels like I'm dissolving into thin air.
Well, you are a...
It's not funny, Jack. I know I'm a... Well, a ghost... This is starting to happen all the time. I used to be able to sit with you for hours, but now I can hardly summon the willpower to be here for 5 minutes before I start to melt into the floor.
Ugh, careful of the carpet. It's bad enough trying to get Daisy's food stains out without you melting all over it.
I'm not joking. It's horrible. I'm just fading.
It is true. She's here a lot less now than she used to be. Feels like it's just me and Daisy more and more of the time. I miss her. The ghost of her. I know she's probably just in my head, but I do miss her. I wonder if Daisy sees her too.
So, Jenny calls me, and...
Okay, so you remember the barista I told you about? No way. Just no way.
I made even more of a cringeworthy idiot of myself than usual when I actually plucked up the courage to talk to her. Well, technically she talked to me first, but, you know.
Wait, she talked to you first?
Yeah, she asked me my name, you know, for the order.
Ah, right. And then you...
asked for her name.
Okay, you know, that's sociable.
Weird is the word you're looking for, Dan. Weird. She asks my name because she needs to call it out when my drink is ready. I ask her name because I'm awkward and socially inept and destined to spend every Christmas between now and the day I die, which will probably be of awkwardness, on my own, at which point I'll probably be eaten by my own cats.
Jen, come on, please.
So just really calling to say that it will be just me for the out-of-towners Christmas Eve party. Huh, so when have we heard that before? Oh, let me see. Yeah, for the last, 10 years?
Meanwhile, at Jack's house in London.
So, I woke up this morning from a fitful dream, vivid and detailed. Almost lifelike. The voice of Jessica in my head. She was saying goodbye.
I can't do this anymore. You can't have me rattling around in the house like some bizarre Halloween novelty dissolving into thin air mid-sentence or cluttering up your thoughts so you can't get on with your life. The life you need to lead, Jack. I'm finding it harder to settle in one place. I keep fading and dissolving, and I know that's because you're moving on, Jack. Coming to terms with what's happened. For your sake, and Daisy's, please don't be sad. Get out there and take the world by the scruff of the neck like you used to. Like the man I fell in love with all those years ago. Oh, and for goodness sake, get yourself back to New York. You know that's where you need to be.
And I go downstairs and the magnet letters on the fridge just spell out the words Jack and Daisy. And a heart in lipstick. And the letters J-E-S-S. Each letter fainter than the one before. And I know it straight away. Know that this is it. She's gone. Upstairs, Daisy is stirring. I lift her from her little bed and hold her so tightly that I can feel her tiny heart beating. Feel her breath on my shoulder as she snuffles and wriggles in my arms.
Oh, hey, I know you.
Ella, hi. Hi. You shop here?
Kinda. I mostly come here for the energy.
Wow. Small world.
You know, we don't have many one-timers. I've been sort of waiting on you to come back in.
Me? I moved out of the neighborhood.
Oh, so you won't be coming back?
I wish. I mean, your coffee's the best, right?
It's really not, but this is perfect because I can ask you on a date now that you're not a customer.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, I really didn't anticipate this going well.
Well, I'm going to this party tonight. Want to be my date?
As long as I can wear something with sequins.
Yeah, sensational.
Great.
Daisy, have you Okay, I'll be back there in a minute. Hang on, Daisy. Just go into the door. Daddy will be with you in a... What the hell? Adam, what are you doing here?
So you're going to just stand there staring, or are you going to let me in?
But you're supposed to be in New York for the party.
Yeah, not while you're over here in London all alone, buddy. Man, what's that smell?
Ah, yes, that's, Daisy. I was just about to change her.
I think you need to teach me how to change a diaper, Jack. I'm going to be here for a few days, so I need to be able to pay my way. But first, get a couple beers in the fridge. We've got some catching up to do.
Jenny, hey.
Oh my god! You actually came!
You asked me, didn't you? Of course I came.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Me too.
Oh my god, she came. I invited her and she actually showed up.
That's your date? Wow, that's my friend Allison. I actually had her in mind for you. I've always thought you two would make a great couple.
You knew this woman and you didn't introduce me to her? Well, if you want something, you have to get it yourself, eh?
I guess so. Hey, Kylie's here. Give me a hug, friend.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for yesterday, for listening, and just thanks for everything. Here's the bottle of wine you're talking about. Now, who else did you want me to say hi to?
We are your family now. Remember? Now go open that bottle. Have fun. Oh, and Adam said I need to dance with you before the end of the night.
Wow. Really? Have you seen me dance?
Are you doing anything nice tomorrow?
By the looks of it, I'm going to be clearing snow for my neighbors.
Oh, wow. It's snowing.
Ah, hey. It's a blizzard out there. I hope no one has too far to travel home tonight.
Kelly, I'm glad you can make it. And you're from Missouri, right? So a genuine out-of-towner.
Yeah, that's right.
This is Jen and Allison.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Kelly.
Hi. What do you do, Kelly? I seem to recognize your voice.
Yeah, I host a podcast.
Oh, really? Which one?
Alternative Stories and Fake Realities.
No, not heard of it. Hey, everyone, we need to Skype England. Adam should be there now, and I know Jack is expecting a call.
Hey, everyone. Look, it's 3 a.m. here, and I'm not going to be long, but 3 things. Okay, 1. Please, please, please don't ask how I am. 2. Brace yourselves. I'm moving back to New York. And 3... just want to say from me and little Daisy, Happy Christmas, everyone. Have a really good one.
Oh, sure. Just forget about me completely, Jack. From me to everyone, have a great holiday. Think of me here under this mountain of diapers. Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. The Out of Towners Club was written by Jackie Jorgensen, Mary McDonald, Kelly Winkler, and Chris Gregory, with additional material by Miguel Antonio and Caroline Minks. Miguel Antonio played Dan, Jack was played by Charlie Richards, and Jessica by Tiffany Clare. Josh Winkler played Adam, and you heard Caroline Minks as Kylie, Jackie Jorgensen as Jenny, and Mary McDonald as Allison. Kelly Winkler played Kelly. The version of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen you heard was arranged and performed by Chris Gregory and Angie Hall and published by Scared Crow Music. Sound effects and other non-copyright musical elements were from freesound.org. Our main theme is written and performed by Chris Gregory. The Out of Towners Club was an Alternative Stories 2019 production for the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast.
Enjoy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
If you have enjoyed this podcast, please check out some of our other content, including our 4-part climate change drama, Anglia. You can find out more about us on our website, alternativestories.com, and by following us on Twitter, where we post as StoriesAlt, and on Instagram as stories.alt. Alternative Stories and Fake Realities will be taking a brief hiatus until mid-January. However, in the interim, we will be publishing details of how new writers can contribute to the podcast. We are looking to expand our writing team and are looking for short story writers, poets, and dramatists. Please watch our website and social media feeds for further details. We'd like to thank everyone who has contributed to the podcast since we began in June. And most importantly, we'd like to pay tribute to our amazing listeners. It has been a pleasure to see our audience grow over the months since we started, and to receive your kind comments, reviews, and ratings. We'd like to wish everyone a great holiday period, a fantastic Christmas if you celebrate it, and a healthy and prosperous 2020.